11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here in 15 minutes. We'll get to the trash of the day. Also, reminder a little bit later on, 1 o'clock hour, it's a fan club Friday. We'll have C-Dot hanging out with us, a couple drinks heading into the weekend. But let's talk some Chiefs football with our Chiefs contributor over at SI on Chiefs. He is Joshua Briscoe. And Josh, good to have you on the show again, man. Let's start with the Juju Smith-Schuster injury. That was a surprise yesterday when all of a sudden we all saw on the injury report, limited in practice, hamstring issue. That's never a good thing. You've covered the team for a while. A Thursday injury popping up, especially as a veteran.
Yeah, and again, you know, it could be nothing, right? Limited means anything between all but one of your snaps and one snap. And so, you know, you expect in that circumstance that Juju probably felt something tighten up in that hammy yesterday. They went ahead and pulled him out, and they're going to see how he looks today. I am not yet buying the worst case scenario that he will not play on Sunday, but I am absolutely concerned, in part because obviously Juju has kind of a long-standing injury history, although it mostly kind of revolves around his knees, although I'm, you know, no physician, but I think your hamstring and your knees are relatively closely connected. But I am hoping for the best, preparing for a borderline comical worst case scenario where Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, and Mecole Hardman now are your 1, 2, and 3 receivers. Not exactly the recipe you'd like for a sort of Super Bowl rematch.
So in that case, they just throw to Travis Kelce 35 times, or like what's, I mean,
it's like birthday spankings. It's one target for each year he's been alive.
Like, I just, like, it's hard to imagine a world in which I wouldn't do it that way. I did want to mention, you know, Gold mentioned that we have the fan club at 1 o'clock. You know, we ought to do your segment on a Friday one time at just 1 o'clock. You can come in and talk Chiefs, but instead you can drink.
Yeah, that sounds fabulous. I mean, I am drinking now. I've never done an episode of your guys' show not with a little drink in my hand. But to do that in like an officially sanctioned way would be great.
What's the best morning drink anyway? Gold's a big screwdriver guy I've seen based on mornings in Vegas. What's your go-to morning alcoholic drink if you're drinking in the AM?
I have had a couple of like cream liqueurs that have come through as a good coffee additive. If you're going to catch me on like a Sunday morning in the fall, maybe the Chiefs have the night game or you get the little Monday night coming up against Tampa in a couple weeks. A couple Sunday mornings from now, I will be perusing some, there's a butter cake cream liqueur that I threw in a coffee last year a few times. That's the winner for me.
Smart.
I mean, right now.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe. He's the editor over at ChiefsOnSI.com. He joins us every Friday here on Cody and Gold. More on the Juju part in terms of long term. You mentioned what it could mean for Sunday, obviously, and it could be an ugly looking just wide receiver room name wise. But does this just give you more reason that they need to go and make a trade based off of, hey, this was the concern that, hey, he might be productive, Juju, but can his body hold up across the season getting the kind of workload? Here we are. It's only after one game and it's a post bye. And he's popping up on the injury report.
This is why I was telling you guys all offseason, do not throw away your Marquez Valdez-Scantling jerseys. You're going to want to have those again by the midseason mark. No, you're right. I mean, and I think we talked about this last week or whenever we talked after the Saints game. You can win games with Juju in 2024 as your number one receiver, but that can't be the plan. Even, and obviously, it was not plan A, B, C, or D. The dude wasn't on the team in training camp, but at this point now, it would be just as irresponsible as it was last year to say, oh, I think, you know, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, we think have wide receiver 1 and 2 potential. So we're just going to kind of lean on them and see what happens. At this point, knowing where this receiver room is, knowing that it's clearly the biggest weakness on the roster and that this is otherwise a Super Bowl caliber roster, obviously around that position group, they absolutely have to do something. And frankly, with absolutely no sarcasm, I think they'd probably rather have MVS running routes than Justin Ross at this point. And so for that reason, maybe MVS is waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers gives him a call also. Just fully free.
Yeah, New York Packers, yeah.
Yeah, go do other things with the rest of your life and go find one of the two quarterbacks that he's had success with in the past. But that's the problem now, guys, is they need depth and they need a starter. MVS isn't a starter, obviously. He's barely depth. But if it is a Deontay Johnson type or whoever ends up remaining around out there, and maybe they're testing Xavier Worthy on Sunday to see what he looks like in a more wide receiver one type of role. Even that I can't guarantee, though, because the game plan was in place when Juju pulled up yesterday. So, I mean, I'm sure they can tweak some things, but it's maybe that we got lucky and this was always going to be a huge Worthy game and we'll be able to see that, but barring some sort of outrageous confidence that Worthy can inject into the entire coaching staff, they've got to do something else. Because otherwise, you're relying on this older veteran that has an injury history and a 175-pound rookie. Not that he can't handle the wear and tear of a football season. It's just his first time playing an NFL, going through an entire NFL season. So, I mean, I'm not breaking any new ground. That group is a mess right now, and I think they have to bolster it probably twice at this point. Maybe if Juju ends up being good to go, you can make one big swing at the top, but I have emotionally prepared for the MVS reunion.
So if you look at where their wide receivers are, we know that they're a problem. We know there's been some questions to tackle, but at what point is the average depth of target a real conversation with Mahomes and be like, we can't keep living like this. I don't like having a Lamborghini and then just forcing it to throw it -1 yards per pass. Yeah. And I guess to that point, how long until it's a real conversation, and who is more responsible for it? Is this Mahomes becoming more gun-shy as they've had to be closer to the line of scrimmage? Or is this Andy Reid just reining it all in because of his lack of confidence in that group?
Answer to question number one, now, or maybe yesterday.
Okay. Immediate conversation, got it.
Absolutely. We should be talking about it now, especially with, like, Brock Purdy, the dink and dunk guy you think of, right? He is blazing down the field, especially compared to Mahomes at this point. Not that that's making him a better quarterback right now, but how he's playing, we'll see that on Sunday. And then to the question of the chicken and egg there of who does it really lie on, it's a mix of everybody. So your analogy, I think, is right. You've got this Lambo you pull out of the garage, and then you take it one block at a time.
In a school zone, driving 20.
Yes. You're taking your kid to school, dropping them off and saying, all right, well, green light. Okay, I'm good. And nope, so we got to stop again. The entire offense has felt kind of stop and start that way. And that's not even the running game. I'm talking specifically about that aspect of the passing game, because the running game is actually, you know, you're driving a tractor and it's getting you 5 yards at a time. It feels pretty good. With the tackles and the depth of target thing, I think it's a super important conversation, and it's going to dictate what this offense looks like the remainder of the year. Wanya Morris has been all right, is what I would say. He has not been worse than Donovan Smith was last year, and he's been better than he himself was in his early action. Plus, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think he's around like 10 games as a starter now or something around that.
Sure.
It's not like he's played a lot of football. So obviously Kingsley has the higher ceiling, and I frankly was really surprised that the Chiefs didn't go right back to Kingsley in week 3. But Wanya has been fine, and I think he has room to grow. Juwan Taylor has been pretty good, especially in pass protection, but the penalties are crushing, and you understand that. So in terms of where the responsibility lies, you even had a couple of bad games from Joe Tooney, which makes sense. He's over 30 and came back from a pec injury, and he's trying to bench press nose tackles. I understand, you know, why that maybe may have been a process for him, but he looked good against the Saints. You have these blips on the radar where the offensive line does not do what Mahomes needs. And I think Mahomes then has really developed, and this started last year from both the receivers and the O-line, he's really developed some legitimate trust issues that has made him a little bit worse, that's made the offense look a little bit worse. So by and large, you can levy lots of fair criticism to where the line has not been elite, but you've got a lot of elite quarterbacks who are playing at a higher level behind worse offensive lines. I don't know if the bye week will have given Mahomes a chance to settle in, review the film, and kind of figure out when he's seeing real pressure versus kind of false pressures, what teams have been doing with little stunts, showing him an open edge and then looping around a defensive lineman to pop into that spot and close off that side of the field, usually on the right side where he'd rather go. There are some things that defenses have been doing to exacerbate that. And unfortunately, Mahomes has been playing into it a little bit at times. He has room to be better. The line has room to be better. I would probably put a smidge more of that responsibility on Mahomes because he's Patrick Mahomes. And Wanya Morris is not Trent Williams. It's probably 50-50 responsibility, but I'm putting more trust in Mahomes to fix it.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his practice window has been opened up. We all know he hasn't played this season. four running backs potentially are in play here. I don't know if it'll be this Sunday or at least could be the next Sunday. Eventually, Isaiah Pacheco's back. How do you see this working itself out? They're not going to have four active running backs on a Sunday, are they?
I didn't think so, and then I said that question even more skeptically to one Nate Taylor yesterday, and the face he made me think that I was wrong.
Okay.
Like, maybe?
And maybe Carson Steele gets put more into a fullbacky role, and we don't really talk about it that way, but the crazy thing there would be four backs, four tight ends, five wide receivers. That's not modern football. So with the rotation now and the way that the coaches have talked about Clyde when asked about it this week, from Andy to Matt Nagy, it sounded to me like Clyde is probably the fourth running back right now. And for me, I would just go ahead and let him be a healthy scratch. They haven't used his roster spot for anything all year, so they could effectively have been thinking about him as a healthy scratch throughout this entire time, despite being on the NFI list. I'm obviously glad that he is working his way back and is in a place where it looks like he's going to be able to return to playing football again. That's fabulous. But of the four running backs currently active on this roster, I think he has the least to do. Samaje Perine is a better third down back and better pass catcher and pass protector. Kareem Hunt is the best active runner on this team right now. And you could make an argument that the Chiefs and Andy Reid in particular would rather have Clyde out there running in the offense than a rookie, undrafted, fumbling rookie in Carson Steele. But Clyde can't do what Steele's asked to do on special teams. And I think the Chiefs are fine with him in that role. So right now, if they needed to cut down on one of those eight running back / tight end positions, I'd leave Clyde down this week, personally. I don't know that there's a real role for him unless they just want to have another back available, which I would understand considering how that room has been depleted so far.
I already called it. It's a lock. They're going to have a three tight end set with an offset eye position with Carson Steele. Motion, it's going to be handoff to Steele for a one-yard gain on a first down. I've just already decided that at some
point... Not a touchdown, Josh, just for 1 yard.
Just a regular one-yard first down on, like, second and one, you know? Just, why are they in the I form?
That's perfect, because then on second and nine, they can run a draw to Clyde, and then they can make it third and eight.
Yeah, that's... they love it, running second and nine. What scares you about San Francisco, since we're going to look at their opponent for half a minute? Defensively, they have not been nearly as good. They've also been banged up there significantly. I think Brock Purdy's once again playing his best football. He has legitimately improved, in my mind, every single game he's been in the NFL. What scares you about them?
I'm with you on Purdy. I think it's been kind of funny to watch the narrative shift as the Niners as a team have been less successful, but Purdy's been really, really good. A lot of the narratives of like, oh, he's underrated because they're winning, kind of flipped. And now I think a lot of the film watchers and the analytics folks have all really been kind of buying Purdy's stock at this point, and I've seen it too. The funny thing, this is sort of the opposite, I suppose, of what scares me. I'm excited to see what Spags does, because he's been so good against the Niners and so good against Shanahan offenses. In particular, you know, think about when they have Kyle Juszczyk on the field and they get those really condensed formations as an offense. They shrink everything together. It's all in just that orb in the middle of the field. Well, when the Chiefs can condense themselves defensively, blitzers can come from anywhere, and that's what Spags loves to do all the time. You have Leo Chanel out there opposite Kyle Juszczyk. If he's not getting the ball, I'd like to have Chanel going 100 miles an hour down whatever gap or whatever offensive lineman's face is in front of him. Go ahead and have your defensive backs blitzing off the edge when you're condensed. That matchup is exciting to me, and it's why I'm not that worried, even though weapons have obviously been depleted for the Niners this year as well with the injuries, and Purdy's been really good. I like the Chiefs' side of the ball there. I'm buying the Chiefs' defense in that matchup in large part because of what we've seen from Spags versus Shanahan and other Shanahan offenses. I am a little bit worried defensively, in part just kind of snowballing on the Chiefs' current issues. I know their defense has not been the 49ers' defense of old, but if you say, yeah, well, we've got an elite pass rusher and an elite linebacker, and right now you've got a young left tackle you're not that confident in, a right tackle that can be susceptible to jumping when a pass rusher gets into his head, you've got an old tight end who's clearly your number one back or your number one target. I don't know what they're going to do with Xavier Worthy. I don't know how much it will matter depending on how the Chiefs use him. I don't even necessarily think the Niners have, like, great matchups for the Chiefs' offensive issues. The Chiefs just have so few offensive buttons to push right now that I think it might be enough, and that's what worries me. I'm leaning towards this being a pretty low-scoring game at this point.
Josh Briscoe, he's our Chiefs contributor. He joins us each and every Friday. He's the editor over at ChiefsOnSI.com. Appreciate it, man, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds good. I'll have a drink for you.
There you go. That's right. We got to get him in for a little fan club Friday, 1 o'clock
hour. We're in
Vegas
next week, so unless he's taking the flight.
Yeah, he's welcome to join us, just like you guys are as well. A week from today, we will be on day number two, show number two in Las Vegas. We'll see at that point in time if there are screwdrivers or what going on. But we are going to be in Vegas.
I'm thinking one of those giant, tall frozen drinks mason jar. I'm thinking that kind of situation.
They definitely have some of those. If you're going to be in Vegas for the Chiefs and Raiders weekend, be sure to stop by Circa Las Vegas. Hopefully you're staying there. But at the very least, join us for our party, which is a week from tonight. Right, 7 to 9 Vegas time on that Friday night at Circa. You can RSVP; it'll get you a free drink for starters. I found out what the drink is. I'll explain that in a second. Also, it'll get you entered.
Cocktail.
Yep. I know exactly what the cocktail is.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't know that until like 24 hours ago. So we also will give you a chance to enter to win game day tickets and a day bet over at Stadium Swim, the world's largest sports book, and also outdoors at Swim has the 6 different pools. It's going to be a ton of fun. If you want an RSVP link, just text into the show, 913-586-7965. We sent out some more RSVP links. If you're going, if you know some people, be sure to let us know you're going to be out there. A lot of people were asking about Saturday. You're there part of the day Saturday. I know you're flying back. Your wife's going to be out there. But yeah, if you also want to just hang out Saturday, I'm probably going to be parked at the sports book watching college football or out by the pool, full disclosure, on Saturday. So even if you're not there Friday, just let us know. You're going to be out there. We'll be hanging out.
I think I've got some of my brother's friends, I think, are going out there for a wedding anniversary for a friend of theirs who got married in Las Vegas. So you might very well see some other, not tap family. I think my brother might be out there as well, but a grouping of people that you may have met somewhere along the way.
The cocktail they're making is they're calling it the Kingdom Kool-Aid, okay? Each week they have a different theme based on what team is out there, right? So Kingdom Kool-Aid, this one, the cocktail will be a blend of Sky Vodka, peach schnapps, orange juice, Sprite, and grenadine.
Sounds like my kind of
this
drink.
Sounds a lot like what we're gonna
having
today.
Very similar.
I'm actually gearing us up for next week when we will have Kingdom cocktail.
The other thing, while we were talking to Josh Briscoe, I saw there was some more comments as some of the coordinators are talking for the Chiefs. Did you see Matt Nagy's explanation for trying to, you know, they got all these concepts and everything and trying to figure out how to whittle it down. Quote, sometimes you can have like the Cheesecake Factory when there's where there's a bunch of stuff on the menu and different types of plays and concepts. We want to get a nice, tight Italian menu.
Oh, he just wants like 10 dishes. Uh-huh. Carbonara, spaghetti and meatballs versus, as we know, the Cheesecake Factory menu
is
like 10 pages long. Yeah.
But I was told by Cody, the last time we were in Vegas, I was criticized for ordering Italian food. That would be spaghetti. One of the 10 classics that Cody just listed, I ordered spaghetti and meatballs when we all had Italian dinner. And apparently, you're not allowed to have spaghetti and meatballs at an Italian restaurant. Who knew? Remember that? You remember that conversation?
Oh, I remember.
That was a thing. Anyway, let's get to it, Drew.
Trash of the day.
I don't know if we're going to have any Italian food on this trip or not.
I tried to get a reservation at an Italian place. It's too booked.
Got to call in a favor.
I don't have any favors.
Call the people.
Who the hell am I calling in? What people?
Mm-hmm.
Who people?
You guys have been in Vegas long enough. You should have somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. This is the third time I've been there. I should have some connection.
It's funny you brought that up. I was trying. I threw away the business card. Dumb decision. You guys remember the story from Super Bowl week? I went to the Vegas Golden Knights game.
Yeah.
Had really nice seats, sat next to a very nice lady that's fairly high up on a couple like foundation boards in Vegas. Knew everybody there. She was offering, remember, to like get us into like all these different parties and all this stuff. We looked her up. We're like, oh, she's very well connected. I was like, oh, we should reach back out and see, you know, the Golden Knights are playing a couple games, see if there's any some ticket opportunities. I have no idea. I don't remember her name or anything.
Oh, man.
Dang.
I don't remember her name or anything. Yeah, that's bad. I know. It's a bad move on my part. Anyway, let's get to the trash of the day. So this has to do with a home renovation project. Cody, you're a homeowner. I don't know if you've renovated a house before.
I actually just had to fix my furnace.
That's not a renovation.
No. But I've done renovation.
You've done a bathroom renovation or something.
I've done bathrooms and kitchen areas.
So did you find anything interesting?
No, you know, like in the bathroom, we found razor blades, you know, where they used to have the slot. In old houses, they'd have like a slot behind the mirror where you would dispose of old, like straight razor blades.
Mm-hmm.
So there were probably like 400 of those behind the mirror. That was about it.
So I bring this up because there's a story that archaeologists were called to a home in the suburb of Paris after a homeowner discovered a skeleton in his basement that sparked a months-long excavation filled with significant findings. They found, Cody, they found 38 graves in a four-room area.
Oh, no.
You got to move. I don't care how old it is.
38
graves. You got to move. I don't care how old.
Oh, that's so many graves.
I mean.
Why? How old were they?
Seven. I mean, built in. The chapel is thought to have been built in the 7th century. I understand it's very, very old. I don't know. I still wouldn't want to. I mean, if I knew that there was that many graves inside my home or underneath my home or whatever.
Did it say how long they've been living there?
So it's weird. Cause it's a chapel, but it's also like it was a home, but also I think it was connected to a chapel. It's a very extensive renovation. Prior to the excavation, the graves of the cemetery had never been subjected to scientific study. It was like a huge archaeological discovery. Like, they were all excited about this. But yeah, I don't think you can live in that home anymore, man.
No, I think you just gotta... I think you gotta move. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in Europe, isn't everything like a million years old, seemingly, and just everyone died everywhere? I mean, you know, they had the Black Death. I mean,
everybody died everywhere.
At some point, you just gotta kind of like accept, yeah, I get it.
These were actual graves, not like just, oh, they got trapped
in. My problem is, like, I'm doing a renovation project, and then months long, you're just like digging up 38 graves in my basement. Were they trying to make sure it wasn't like John Wayne Gacy? And it was just like, you know, these people died of natural causes and were dot. You know, if they're that old, I mean, really going to haunt me now?
Someone on the text line,
in like the 60s, I'd feel different.
Said they didn't find any graves while redoing their basement. They just finished a basement renovation. They said they used their Bitcoin profits to pay for the renovation. Good for
nice.
You.
Nice.
Good for you, man.
I'd like to maybe change out the backsplash in my kitchen and paint my cabinets. That's really kind of next.
Yeah.
I've got a bathroom eventually, but I'll take my time on that. I don't mind doing a little renovation work. I like doing tile.
During COVID, man, I told you my sisters and I, we redid some stuff in my parents' house. We didn't put in new cabinets. We redid the cabinets. We painted the house. We did a bunch of stuff. I told you that.
I built a table during COVID.
There was nothing else to do during COVID. All the Home Depot, those stores, record profits during COVID.
My current dining room table was built by me during COVID when I had nothing else going on. Why not, I guess? I don't
know. That is the trash of the day, and I appreciate those of you texting in some suggestions for our time in Vegas. 913-586-7965. Someone else says you got to check out a brunch spot at Park on Fremont in downtown Vegas. That's not far from where we're going to be at.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for
it. Gotta make a list, man. I've been there enough. I should just try some new places. My interest in going to the actual Strip is so low now. Because
my wife's never been to Vegas, so we have to go to the Strip once.
Okay. You guys have to go. That's
different. We got to go see the fountains.
Yeah,
and stuff,
for sure. And look, if you've never been, of course. If you've been as much as we have, though, especially recently, like the Strip, I don't need to go to the Strip. Plenty of stuff over at Fremont, plenty of stuff right at Circa where we're going to be at some great restaurants too. But yeah, if you've never been, yeah, you got to go to the touristy stuff on the Strip. Makes a lot of sense.
I mean, just once, you know, just once. But we'll take your suggestions. And if you need the link, let us know. I see someone asking for it over there.
We'll get you the link. Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, though, and talk about what it looks like if the Chiefs win on Sunday. What does this mean for the chances of them going on another 5 or 6-game streak in addition to the 5 they're on now?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's next?
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, yeah, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7965. In less than an hour from now, we'll head out to the Bay Area, get their perspective on 49ers Chiefs. Super Bowl rematch. Chiefs have won 4 in a row. We'll check in with Dan Dibley. He hosts afternoons for our sister station, 95.7 The Game. I'll be honest, I'm also having him on, Cody, because I needed some advice. You know, I figure after this Chiefs Hallmark movie, you know, my life is just going to change forever. And you're saying, well, why does that matter for this? Well, Dan Dibley was once in the movie Flubber back in the 90s.
Wow, you Flubber. Know,
he was in Flubber. I'm sure his life changed forever, so I need to get some advice.
What, is that the only movie he's ever been in?
We're going to find out. We'll have to ask.
Sucks for you, man. One trick pony. He should just be in one thing and then never star in anything ever
again.
And
he lives in California. I mean, yeah, if he only did one, then I need to know what happened. Did he not put the IMDb page up? Did he? What advice would he give me to make sure the acting career continues past the Hallmark movie? So we'll talk some football and we'll have some fun with Dan Dibley at 12:30.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, obviously. And the 49ers are obviously not an opponent to take lightly. We can talk in a minute about what things I think they need to do specifically maybe against them. I was just thinking about like this one in particular, because they're 5-0 right now. Chiefs are underdogs to win this game. It'll probably be one of only two times they're underdogs the rest of the season. The only other time I think that they would be a statistical underdog is the Bills on the road, unless something dramatically changes with the records of the Texans and the Chiefs before their game. They're going to be a favorite in every other game, likely the rest of the way. If they win this game, how long do you think they're undefeated for? Like, do you think they're getting at least two Buffalo undefeated if they win this game against San Francisco?
I think I said the other day, if they win this one, they're going to get to 8-0 at least. And if they get to 8-0, to me, they're the number one seed in the AFC.
You think enough of a buffer? Huh?
I think so.
By then, I think everyone would have it like two losses. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Some would say, hey, well, they got to beat Buffalo head-to-head and Houston head-to-head, so they have the tiebreaker. I just don't know if the Bills are going to rack up enough wins to where the tiebreaker is going to matter. I don't know if the Texans are tricky because their division. That'd be the one where it could come down to that game to make sure you have the tiebreaker. But man, oh man, like I think the potential for them to start, you know, 9-0, 10-0, 11-0. Like, you get past the Niners, that's a real conversation to be had. We mentioned briefly yesterday, like, hey, if you want to have the perfect season, undefeated season stuff, you got to wait till they get to like 12-0 before I'm really willing to have a real conversation about them running the table. That's kind of crazy to me to talk about when they're 5-0 or 6-0 or 7-0. If they get there. But no, in terms of, you know,
you don't think they dropped the Bucks Monday night game? Doesn't that feel like a weirdo loss? Well,
let's find out where the health of this team is. And did they trade for a wide receiver too? Because, you know,
that's the day before the trade deadline.
That's going to change everything potentially. You know, is Juju back healthy? Is the wide receiver room progressing? Is Xavier Worthy taking a step forward? If they have traded for a wide receiver, do we love the addition? Are we disappointed they just added DeMarcus Robinson? Like, what? There's so many things that can change that feeling. But if they're 8-0, yeah, man. I think it sets them up where they're in not only a great spot for the number one seed, but we could be talking about them having like a 10-0 start, and that streak goes back to last year in the postseason.
Well, I mean, yeah, if they start the season 8-0, they won. They've won 11 in a row. Is that what it is right now? 12 in a row right now. They won the final two games of the regular season, the four of the postseason. That's 6-5 this year. I think it's 11 in a row. So if they won four more games in a row, they will have won 15 consecutive games. I looked this up, by the way. That's not quite as high on the list as you would think it would be. That wouldn't even put them in the top five of longest winning streaks in NFL history.
I think 13's the record for their longest winning streak. The longest winning streak in the regular season for the Chiefs franchise. Chiefs franchise is 11. So they're tied for it. Yeah, I mean, they win
it's
Sunday.
They win Sunday, and it'll be the single longest. Now, I'm just saying NFL history.
Yeah, yeah.
And NFL history is weird because they already are tied for, or I'm sorry, they're one game away from the second longest winning streak in playoff history already. The Patriots hold that at 10 in a row. Next up is the Packers in like the 60s with 8 in a row. But what's funny about those is not consecutive postseasons. Like, the Patriots included the season when they didn't win anything because Matt Castle was the starting quarterback and they didn't get to the postseason. So technically, they got to take a postseason off in the middle of their 10-game postseason winning streak. And in a lot of ways, to me, that doesn't count. Like, you got to take a year off. So, you know, your postseason winning streak ended then when you didn't go to the postseason. But they don't count it that way. And it's a little bit different. You got to get to 18 wins in a row to get top five. 18. Yes. A lot of teams who won the Super Bowl the year before went on and did some undefeated things there for a little while, essentially after winning the Super Bowl, or just won more games in the regular season. Had the Chiefs not lost that game to the Raiders, their winning streak looks a lot longer and a lot more impressive. I just thought, man, if they win this, I'm with you. I don't think I would predict them to lose until they got to the Bills. Because if they're beating the 49ers on the road, they got two more weeks to sign a wide receiver, know who they are before Monday Night Football against the Bucks. Well, then I got to think they're winning that game. I got to think they're beating the Broncos at home. Then we're just talk Bills on the road as an 8-0 team with four of the next games being very winnable. Panthers on the road, Raiders at home, Chargers at home, Browns on the road. That's a good, you get to 8-0. You're right. The one seed will be damn near locked up.
I mean, I keep saying 8-0. Technically 9-0. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
If they
yeah,
beat the Niners, they'll be 6-0, and then they get the Raiders 7-0, Bucks 8-0, Broncos would be 9-0 if they ran the table. So they could be 9-0 going to the Bills game. But that's why Sunday's such a swing in terms of this. And, you know, it's such a different vibe. But nobody's worried about the Raiders. The Bucks game, I think, will be tricky on a Monday night. I'm not worried at all about going out west to Las Vegas. There's going to be tons of Chiefs fans. That Broncos team doesn't have a quarterback. The fact that the last time they played, the Raiders got the Chiefs, all of that, not worried about the Chiefs-Raiders game. It's the Bucks, and then this weekend before the Bills, the only games I'd be concerned about.
Plus, the Chiefs don't lose when you and I are in Las Vegas. That's a statistical fact.
True. We are undefeated.
The Chiefs are 1-0 in games in which
the Chiefs haven't lost in Vegas, period, since the new stadium.
Also,
right?
That's true. It's also important to note that if for some reason the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl again this year, which seems likely as it is every year likely, and this station doesn't send Alex and I, if they lose, I just want you to know.
Direct all emails to Steven Spector.
Yeah. Alex and I have been to three Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowls together. The Chiefs in those Super Bowls are 3-0. The one time we couldn't go due to COVID in Tampa Bay, they lost. We are the Kansas City Chiefs good luck charm. Plain and simple.
Yeah, some people say it's Patrick Mahomes and his success. No. It was us arriving in middays here at 96.5 The Fan that really started this deep run for the Chiefs. And you're welcome. You're welcome for that.
So does that mean that Mahomes isn't the greatest quarterback ever, but the midday show is the greatest midday show
that's exactly
in the history
what it
of midday
is.
Shows?
Man, when did those rankings come out? How high did we get last year on the mid-market midday shows?
It's Super Bowl week every year.
Super Bowl week, huh? Where did we land last year? We moved up.
We moved up, but I don't remember. 14th? I don't know.
I'd like to be accurate and not.
I don't remember, man. You don't remember, huh?
I don't. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I want to know where we are. You know.
Anyway, point being, you are correct.
It's important for the point.
We are undefeated at Super Bowls that we go to. That's just the fact. And so, yes, if the Chiefs make it to New Orleans and we are not sent, I'd be nervous. That's all I'm saying. I'd be nervous about the result of that football game.
We know where we ranked in the Hanson
14th,
rankings.
Text line says 14th. Text line says 14th.
That's up from 18th, though. I mean, that was a swing in the right direction. We're coming for your ass, Jason and John in Memphis. Coming for your ass. They're at 13. I don't know who these people are, but we're coming for them. And maybe number 12, too. You know what? We're not just taking
depends
down one.
If some of those other shows are still together. If not, it's an automatic.
Query and Company in Indianapolis.
Hey, it's the hometown.
They're going down.
Yes, that is his last name.
I was about to say, what?
Yes.
Not as in, like, I have a query. Last name is, what's his name?
Jake Query.
Why do they make his name Jake if his last name's Query? It's too many, like, Qs. It's like the hard K sound in a row.
It's unique. They like it. Stood out.
I don't know.
Stood out. But
it's too much.
Yeah.
Is his show any good?
When I interned there, he was not at 107.5 in Indy. He was at a competitor at the time. I've never met him before, actually. So
it looks like he's in a competitor now.
I believe the show is good. Yes.
It just feels like a vibe. You're not actually getting.
Someone brought up. They're like, yeah, I can't wait for the Raiders game next week because of the Kermit the Frog thing. That's another element for next week. We'll get there next week.
Training camp, wasn't it?
That was in training camp. Yeah, we'll get there next week.
Ruined Christmas last year. Chiefs are going to be out for blood on that one.
We'll get there. I know there'll be plenty of Chiefs fans.
No Devontae Adams.
I wonder how many Chiefs fans will be at the game this Sunday. What do you guys expect? I mean, Chiefs fans travel everywhere now. It's Santa Clara. It's, you know, you fly into San Francisco or Oakland, and then you can drive up to Santa Clara.
Larger fan bases too across the country.
Yeah, Niners have really good fans. It's hard because they're both red, and you know, so like I don't know, in the state, like the aerial shot is not going to be so obvious.
You wait for the anthem to play, and then we'll really
do you
gauge.
Hear home of the Chiefs? That's a fair point.
That's usually the gauge of whether or not it works or not. I think there'll be some up there. I wouldn't get carried away and say that they're in a spot, but also when we're talking with Josh Briscoe, we still know what part of the issue is with this game, which is at 1 o'clock. Andy Reid's going to address the media, and he's going to tell us whether or not. Juju's fine. We were just playing it cautious, or No, big problem. Juju might not be available for Sunday, in which case they will have to go into the game with either Xavier Worthy or Justin Watson being their number one wide receiver. And if that's the case, just throw it to Xavier Worthy. And I know that the obvious answer would be like, can he run all those routes? He can try. Do I know if he can run those routes correctly, Gold? I don't. Can he try to run those routes correctly? Sure as hell can.
Yeah, he can try to run those.
There is no downside at that point if you were down to Mecole Hardman as your number three.
No, he can try to run those routes and have that part of his route tree. You're talking about the Rashee Rice routes, and also we saw Juju, who was wide open. My thing is just that he's already getting six targets a game. I'm just saying I don't believe they can consistently across the season bump that up to 9 or 10 targets every single week, first year in the NFL, potentially playing 20 games and still be effective and healthy. He's, 6 foot, 168. You know, like, that's all I'm saying. I don't think it's – now, maybe out of the six targets, more of them are the route – part of the route tree you're talking about. That's fine. I just don't believe, like, you should expect Worthy to suddenly be the guy that's getting 10 or 11 targets a game. That's just – I don't believe that's who
you're
he's going to be.
You're saying you can't do that with going over the middle.
My opinion,
I mean, I think the clear example is Devonta Smith. Why can't he go over the middle if Devonta Smith can? Devonta Smith is 5'11", 6'170 pounds, soaking wet too. He's been a highly effective NFL wide receiver. Hell, he was a 900-yard receiver his rookie year. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver each of the last two seasons after that. He gets targets. He gets catches. He's thin as a rail. I think a lot of it is like durability sometimes is not size. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like you're too tiny and they're picking on you, but sometimes that's not what durability is. We see plenty of big-bodied wide receivers who can't stay healthy. Sure. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster's had a hard time staying healthy a good chunk of his career. Xavier Worthy, to this point, has never proven he is not a healthy wide receiver, so I'd like to test that logic by getting him involved. And I know what you're saying is, if he got hurt, big, big problem if you lose another. And I would just say, generally speaking, that's the risk of football. He plays football. We're going to have to just take those chances for a guy who's been healthy.
Someone says I'm unit shaming. No. I mean, Cody just said size doesn't matter, basically, in that whole thing. So, no, we are not. We are
not. The way he motions himself, you know, that's what works.
We are not unit shaming.
This is coming off the heels of Kramer telling us what a trash of the day story we could have had for today. Guy had three penises.
Yes.
It's quite the tease. Do you guys want to hear that story later?
Completely misleading, though, story.
I mean, the guy did have three penises.
Misleading. I mean, whatever. I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll just real quick. When someone comes up to you and says, oh, did you hear the story about the guy with three penises, Cody? Then we find out you read the story. Cody Googles the story, of course, immediately.
Well, I mean, this is a show for entertainment.
You find out that two of them were not even visible. They were internal, so it's not what I would have imagined, you know?
They were in his, his scrotal sack. They discovered it after the fact. The worst part is, man, that guy. I mean, to have three penises your whole life, not even know it. And it was not a good situation.
He was not endowed? Well endowed? Is that what you're saying? No.
Well, the two internal penises were an inch long each. Okay. The third one, however, was only 3 inches, according to the report, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tough life for that man. That's all.
Yeah, I do it over there, Drew.
Someone said if Cody stopped singing, then we would be top 10.
Well,
in
disagree, you know?
Are you willing to try?
How badly do you want to be top 10?
Well, this year's already cut.
All right, next year. Depending on where we're ranked, you know.
If we drop down, I'll consider it, you know. But if we're still moving up.
What I've learned is a lot of the text line also read that story because a lot of them were correcting some key details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all.
I'll be honest. When I originally accepted this job over a year ago, I did not ever think that this would be a conversation that we would ever have.
Oh, man, we did not properly prepare you for this job. I can assure you this would have been a conversation.
I'm not saying it's not. Look, I was not anticipating this being a conversation at any point.
What do you think that the Chiefs do in this game if Juju Smith-Schuster can't play? Okay, so Travis Kelce gets the most targets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, here are the options I think available to him. Justin Watson gets the most targets. Xavier Worthy gets the most targets. They run the ball 35 times. Like, what do you think is most likely there? Or the combined target share of tight ends is 20+ between Noah Gray, Jared Wiley, and Travis Kelce. If those are the four doors you think the Chiefs are choosing to open, which one do you think they open for this game against San Francisco? if we find out at 1 o'clock Juju Smith-Schuster's unable to play.
Well, I think the way this offense is set up now anyway, like they're going to lean on the run a little bit more than they have in the past within reason, because it's still an Andy Reid offense. Kareem Hunt, I think they recognize, though, that they can't consistently give him 27 touches. Going back to the durability question we just had with Worthy, Kareem Hunt cannot make it through the season getting 27 touches. And I know eventually Pacheco's coming back. Sure. Maybe that's why they have four active running backs on Sunday, because they're like, we are going to run the ball a bunch. Kareem Hunt's going to get 18 or 20, and Carson Steele's going to get five, and Clyde's going to get two or three touches.
Samaje's going to get three catches.
Maybe that's part of the plan. If you're talking just wide receiver, I thought it would be this against the Saints and ended up being Juju. I still think Justin Watson, we saw how last year played out. They kind of told us last year who they trusted in the passing game. And I think Justin Watson could be a key guy that moves the chains a little bit at times in this game on Sunday, if Juju cannot go.
You said 35 times.
Yeah.
I might be convinced that they ran it 39. The last game they had, they ran it 26 in the game before that. And then against the Chargers, they ran it 33.
That's a lot.
They might run it 35 times.
I mean, that's a lot of rushing attempts for them, especially in the entire Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes era. If you're curious, by the way, San Francisco does have the seventh best run defense in rushing yards allowed per game. So that strategy seems poor, maybe based on the defense that they're facing. So it kind of depends on how you look at it. But I mean, I feel like they'd probably just go tight ends. I don't think it's an accident that they just keep like bringing back Jody Fortson and just the same as they're carrying all the running backs. They just keep carrying them,
But Jody Fortson, we know when he's healthy how they've always wanted. He's a red zone guy. The middle of the field, I don't think we're going to see Jody Fortson six catches for 80 yards just doesn't seem in the cards for him. That's not who he is. Like, he strikes me as someone that's going to have two or three catches, but he gets a touchdown, because when it's first and goal at the five, they run some motion and all of a sudden he gets freed up because of great play design and he's open in the back corner of the end zone. That's to me where I think Jody Fortson's a factor more than like when they're going in between the 20s. I don't believe the middle of the field, that's Jody Fortson territory. I think it's when they're inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line. Could be wrong, but that's
they used him in the middle of the field the last game, but for one 5-yard catch.
Yeah, one catch.
So that doesn't really tell the whole story. I'm in agreement with you. That would be the case. San Francisco is a middle of the road pass defense. They are a middle of the road pass rush right now. Like, the signs point to you should be passing. But if Juju's not available, I mean, can you? Like, I mean, just can you? This goes back to the average depth of target conversation with Briscoe and all the other things that come with this, that at some point they have not shown that card in 20 games. Well, maybe not 20. They did some of that in the postseason. But certainly for five games this regular season, and for what I would say is 70% of the season last year, the Chiefs did not play the card that is, we're just going to pass it on you and be successful doing it. We'll show you. That actually feels like what they should be doing against San Francisco based on the strengths of their defense. But if Juju can't play, how can that be the plan? Last week, the plan was, we don't know we have it wide receivers. So the first two drives were, we're going to run the hell out of the ball, and we're going to throw it to every tight end on our roster. And then eventually they're like, oh, Juju's open a lot. Cool.
Yeah, they also just found out the Saints defense is not good. We saw in that game, we saw last night, the Saints, Javonte Williams ran all over them. The Saints defense just, I don't think, was stopping much from the Chiefs to begin with. So that's where it's like, game plan, sure, also opponent. Let's see what they do against the 49ers on Sunday. It's going to be a much tougher challenge, obviously, yes, even if Juju plays, than it was against the Saints. I mean, we're going to look back at the first two games for the Saints and be like, in week 17, be like, how the hell did they blow out teams in week two when the Saints finished with like six wins all year?
Dennis Allen is a bottom five coach in this league. He's a terrible coach.
But the fact that they stink on defense, too,
Let's see. We include
what's his
the
career
one,
winning percentage? What's like 300?
Not good. I mean, include Robert Saleh, who already got fired. To me, if he got fired, he's automatically bottom five, right?
Disagree. I would have rather, if you made me start a team right now, the Chiefs had to have a new coach. It was Dennis Allen or Robert Saleh.
I'm saying who's in the bottom five, though.
Oh, now that Saleh's gone.
Yeah.
I thought you just meant
I would include Saleh in the bottom. Oh, he got five. I mean, I would put him in the bottom five.
Fine, but I would still put him above five. Dennis Allen. Does that make sense?
Sure.
He's in the bottom five.
There's three spots left.
He's better than
Dennis
Allen.
Three spots left. Who else do you think is above?
I don't think you can say Callahan is yet, because he's got Will Levis, and we don't know. I think it's too early.
By the way, anybody that says Mike McCarthy, I'm sorry, I totally disagree. He's not a bottom five coach. I know it's easy to think
about. Stefanski's not a bottom five coach.
He's won coach of the year twice.
McVay's not, even though they're 1-4.
God, I mean, Dennis Allen.
Doug Peterson might be there now, boys. Unfortunately,
yeah. You know who's worse? Antonio Pierce.
Okay, there you go.
So there's four.
He's
Peterson might be there.
He's at the bottom of the
list. I agree with you there.
I mean, Sirianni's probably climbing
up. Sorry, we missed Brian Daboll. Sorry.
So Daboll makes it five.
Brian Daboll.
Yeah. Daboll, Peterson, Pierce.
Someone's got to be bottom
Sala,
five.
And Dennis Allen.
There you go.
Dennis Allen has a career winning percentage in the NFL of .338.
Yeah, his job is gone because they stink on defense too, which is his specialty.
.338. That's what got Staley fired. It is. I mean, they were a bad defense, and he's a defensive-minded coach. It's not great.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then back into the play of Chris Jones, and does it compare to another legend in the game? And I got one other thing to run by you guys when we talk about Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers.